The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Bob Dio, engineering and producing the show. It is the Friday edition of the Buckmaster Show, Friday, April 12th, 2019. You're on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. A big shout out on Friday to some of our local media friends who support the Buckmaster Show, including TucsonSentinel.com, Green Valley News, and Sahorita Sun, Tucson Local Media Group, including Tucson Weekly and Inside Tucson Business. The executive editor of Tucson Weekly is with me in studio, Jim Nensel. How are you, Jim?
Oh, I'm 100%. Dynamite.
Good.
Dynamite.
Good to have you at 100%.
It's great to be here.
It's great to have you in studio with us. Still relatively new smell, new car smell,
yeah.
New studio smell.
I thought you were referencing Jim and I didn't know where we were going.
I have a new scent.
New scent.
I've adopted.
Okay, Mayor Rothschild is with us. Jonathan Rothschild in studio on the Buckmaster Show. Mayor, how are you? You've had a busy day already, haven't you?
Yeah, no, it's been a good week. We had council this week and had a lot of conversations. Hopefully getting some progress made in the city, but then there's a lot going on all over the place.
790-2040, if you would like to ask the mayor a question or have a comment for the mayor, he would be delighted to engage in what you have to say. Speaking of engaging, there's kind of a re-engagement effort about what to do about the approximately, Mayor, about 20% of Tucson youth who do leave school for one reason or another. Many times it's economic, family issues, whatever it is. But if it's one, it's one too many, as far as I'm concerned.
No, I agree with you, Bill. And so we've made efforts over the years to reduce that rate, and we have. I remember reports from several years ago that had even more students dropping out. And it's a problem all over the country. We've looked at numbers all over the country. And in fact, today we had a press conference where a national organization, Center for America's Promise Alliance, really kind of recognized the work that was going on in Tucson in using it as a national model. And we really focused on a few programs. Our Steps for Success program, which I know you're familiar with.
That's been going on for 5 years.
Yeah, 5 years. We've brought over
you six. You go door to door with kids that have dropped out, right?
We do. Yeah. And, well, that's what you have to do.
Yeah.
That's what you have to do. And you do, you know, Bill, when you were talking about those reasons why kids drop out, and sometimes it is because they need to get a job and they feel they can't go to school. Sometimes a young girl will get pregnant and thinks that's the most important thing. But a lot of times these kids, they're two classes away from graduation and they just are sitting home watching video games.
Mm-hmm.
And so you got to get to them and you got to somehow engage them and let them know what programs are there out there to get them back. And so we've had success there. A couple other programs that were highlighted today by this national organization, one which is a United Way program called Youth on the Rise. And those are disconnected youth age 16 to 24. And according to Tony Penn from the United Way today, they brought 387 kids back through that program. And then the program that I really think is the way forward is called Community Schools. And we were fortunate enough to get a grant, I believe now, 4 years ago from the Corporation for National Service, basically AmeriCorps and Vista, for $1.5 million. And our work was so good enough that we got it renewed for another $2 million. And that really is taking AmeriCorps Vista students, training them up to work in the schools, and then giving them the profits or the reach out of the nonprofits in the community. So if the problem is the child doesn't have food, working with the community food bank. If the problem is one of abuse, reaching out to or bullying, reaching out to those agencies and the like. And the group that's really here trying to do that work on a permanent basis called Higher Ground and Jansen Azarias. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't had Jansen on your show, you got to get him. He is a high energy spirit.
So bottom line, it's a multifaceted approach that seems to be paying off. Let's bring in Jim Nintzel from the Tucson Weekly. Hey, Jim.
Hey. So, Mr. Mayor, you were just talking about partnering with social service agencies
right.
to try to accomplish this particular task. But,
yeah.
you know, we've talked in the past in the days of big federal grants for cities
yeah.
like Tucson are gone. Like those probably are not coming back.
They're harder and harder to get. We still get some, but they're harder and harder to get. What there isn't anymore, Jim, is kind of block grant money where the cities or counties are just given money and they can use it for what they want it to. That doesn't exist anymore.
Exactly. And so I think we've talked about this before. One of the things you've tried to do, given the limited funds the city has to tackle a lot of these social problems within the city limits, is to partner
yeah.
with these nonprofit agencies.
Yeah.
So talk a little bit about just how you've found ways to do that over your two terms as mayor and why it is important because of your lack of funding.
Yeah, no, it is. And Jim, you've touched on the fundamental issue, which is there just aren't enough resources given to local governments to solve the needs of a community. And people look at the local governments as you're the ones to solve the needs of the community. So you do have to go out to the business community, and you have to go out to the nonprofit community and form these alliances. Probably one of the best examples over my time as mayor was the initiative to house veterans that were homeless. And some of the effects of that, first of all, it was an Obama initiative. We were one of 25 cities that was given technical assistance by the federal government. But what that means is that you'll get people from Washington, D.C. who will come in and advise you on what to do, which is helpful. But ultimately, we had to get together all the groups in the community that supported veterans and all the groups in the community that worked in the homeless sphere, so whether it be Primavera or American Red Cross or Salvation Army, along with these veterans groups, and say, look, we've got to start to work together. What the county and the city then were able to do is sort of serve as the funnel. So one of the first things we did was we got went out and talked to everybody in the streets, everybody, and got a by name list. So we knew who the people were, where they were, and what those problems were. And over the years, we have housed over 3,000 veterans who at one time were homeless. We've got our chronic homeless list in this community down. Although, you know, you see these folks and they create a bigger problem than their numbers, down to about 300. And we know who those people are. And now the county has put out a grant recently for $1 million to really focus on that population. And it'll help the city because most of these people are going to jail on misdemeanor charges, not felonies, but misdemeanor charges, which we pay for if they're in the city limits, 5-6 times a year. And they're people with serious mental illness or active substance abuse. So these are difficult, difficult cases. But that intentional approach, using both the nonprofit community and the business community. In the business community, Councilmember Richard Fimbrish has a program, a homeless mm-hmm. work program, that Humberto Lopez funded. And
so you're saying it's the population, the homeless population, has dropped from approximately 3,000 down to about 300 people, and that's kind of a year-round figure of homeless people.
No, I don't want to mislead you on that.
Okay,
we still have any number of people who'll be on the street at any time. Mm-hmm. Chronically homeless are people that have been on the streets for over 6 months.
Yeah,
80%
yeah.
of people who are homeless find housing within 90 days. I mean, you know, another problem that we'll be trying to address in the future, we have, and it shocked me to find out, we have over 9,000 evictions in this community a year. And that's something that we're just beginning to address as a community. So,
you know, that actually brings me to my next question, which is, you know, poverty is something that's still a big problem in the
yep.
city of Tucson and
everywhere.
And everywhere. But there are a lot of people who are living a paycheck away
yep.
from eviction.
Absolutely.
And particularly single moms.
Yep.
And is there something the city can be doing to help these folks out?
So, you know, we house in the city using federal dollars over 10,000 people a year. And people forget that when they talk about housing, that we've got a program all over, and you don't see it that much because we've used a strategy of trying to disperse these units. The Tucson House is our biggest unit. There's 550 people there. And it's funny because it's not kind of this stereotype. I mean, it's people with disabilities. It's senior citizens. It's people with learning disabilities, as well as people have just fallen on hard times. And so both the city and the county spend a lot of time and effort trying to help those families, but ultimately you're constrained by resource. I mean, we've gone in and worked with landlords of multi-housing units and saying, hey, can you, if you've got a vacancy rate of 10%, can you reserve some units that we can get, where we can pay you less rent, but still have people in there? And we've had landlords that have been very cooperative. But again, you're asking someone to take on somebody who may not be as easy to deal with or might be at more risk. And I like to tell people that and I'm pretty sure there's this phrase that somebody of some authority commented on that was the poor will always be with us. And to some extent, that's going to be true. And so what it really means is that we have to constantly be on alert and work in those programs.
All right, we're going to pause right here. It's 10:30, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Jim Nintzel is here, executive editor of the Tucson Weekly. Mayor Rothschild will be with us for another segment right now. Mayor and Jim, I'm gladly going to tell everybody about my favorite bakery in town.
Mona's.
Yeah, there you go. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Jim, have you been up there? It's not really your part of town, but maybe...
Wait, where is it?
Okay, it's
no,
the
it's
northeast,
close,
northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise.
Oh, that is my part of town.
Well, then...
I drive
then,
by there every day on the way to work.
Here you go. Northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. Owner and chief baker Steve has some exciting news. The permitting process just about completed. They'll be ready with the full grill for the morning breakfast, Jim. So
you got to go, Jim. If you drive by it every morning...
Yeah.
You may have to work out a little more, but
yeah, I don't doubt that it's wonderful. I'm not sure it would be great for my blood sugar levels.
Oh,
but I'm sure it is great.
That,
I'm sure it is great.
Yes,
oh
yeah.
My God, I love it. So
yeah,
you go there.
I love looking.
They have medications for blood sugar.
Oh, you have a good point.
Yes, indeed. Mona's, home of the Danish Kringle, and soon, hopefully, even maybe next week sometime, the hot breakfast will be available. Right now, available lunch at Mona's. The bread, oh my goodness, the bread that they serve on their sandwiches, Jim. There's just a wide variety of breads that came out of the oven just a couple of hours ago.
Do they have any zero carb bread? By any chance?
I don't know.
I don't know if that exists.
I don't know. Mona'sDanishBakery.com is their website. There's also a link to all of our great partners on the Buckmaster Show, including Tucson Local Media Group. Yes, we've got a up on our BuckmasterShow.com. There's a link to the Tucson Weekly, as there is a link on the Tucson Media.
Is that Jim's corporate?
That's my media empire. I hope you're aware I'm a mogul.
And Jim,
there are half dozen newspapers.
Yes, half dozen in the portfolio here, and it is a national company or what?
Local company.
Local
I think
company
is probably the best.
All right, Tucson Local Media.
Tucson Local Media.
There you go. We'll take our break right here. Be back with Jim Nintzel and the mayor. We'll talk with the mayor when we come back about there was some job news here in town. Some good, some bad. So we'll get the latest on that right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. For the first time ever, explore the Biosphere 2 ocean and beach and see up close how we're using the world's largest indoor living ocean for research on the future of coral reefs and rising ocean temperatures. During this privately guided tour, you'll learn why our world's oceans are so important, why they're being impacted, and how the Biosphere 2 Research Center is addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2 tours daily, biosphere2.org. This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com.
There's still time this year for you to donate your 2018 charitable tax credit qualifying dollars to a local charity and claim a dollar-for-dollar credit towards your Arizona state taxes. The Arizona Charitable Tax Credit Coalition, a group of 40 local charities, encourages you to direct a portion of your state tax dollars to work in our community for causes that you wish to support. It's easy to donate online and feel good at givelocalkeeplocal.org. That's givelocalkeeplocal.org.
The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To learn more, please visit rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk, about 12:23 here on the Buckmaster Show. It's our Friday Focus interview today with Jonathan Rothschild, who has served, he'll be completing his second four-year term and decided he will not be seeking re-election. Jim Nintzel is with me, executive editor of the Tucson Weekly. Let's talk a little bit about jobs. A mayor, a concentric, a call center operator, will be laying off nearly 800 workers at its site in Tucson. We had that news this week. And then maybe like 24 hours later, some good news. Southern New Hampshire University, which is kind of like an online, I believe, university, correct?
They have a campus that has about 4,000 students, okay. But the vast majority of their students are online.
Okay,
students.
So they're going to open an operations center here in Tucson to, I guess, serve folks in the western United States. And they're talking about, let's see, about maybe 350 jobs.
Yep.
So there you go. You got the bad with the good.
Well, it's always good when you take a punch to be able to have good news that follows. You know, there's so much, Bill, that happens in the world that is outside the control of any elected official. And certainly when a company like Concentrix went under new ownership, and new ownership was probably taking a look at it and saying, how do we save money? Will we consolidate? So one of the things that generally happens, and I don't know in this case, is those folks will be offered jobs either at the new location or job opportunities, you know, where they live, because a lot of people like to and need to stay in their community. So, you know, one day that happens, and the next day we get the news that there'll be 350 new jobs, similar in one respect, and I don't know with regard to the pay scale, but the Southern New Hampshire University, at least the presentations that they made were that these were going to be service people at a little higher level, dealing with things like individual student issues, recruitment and the like. But they want to be in downtown Tucson. That was one of the attractions. Mm-hmm. They've not finalized their lease, to my knowledge, but they've said that even if they can't find a place downtown, that they want to be here. They liked what they saw, so that was good news.
Jim, any economic question you'd like to follow up with?
I actually, since we're relatively short on time, want to shift gears over to politics for a second, the upcoming election. And there's folks out collecting signatures for an initiative called the Families Free and Together Initiative. Essentially, I think even the supporters say, would make Tucson a sanctuary city for undocumented immigrants. Your Honor, is this something you can support?
No, I'm not supporting it. Nobody on the city council supporting it. To my knowledge, none of the people that are running for office are supporting it. Whatever the intentions of those who filed the initiative were, the way it is written creates serious, serious issues for our city. And every candidate and person who studied it has said that. My understanding is some of the people who historically have been the most supportive of these kind of initiatives have come out against it. The worst thing about it, and there's a number of things that are not good, is that it states right in it that unless federal agencies signed a document that they would sign that says that they will not enforce their federal laws, that we as a city would not be able to cooperate with federal agencies. And, you know, I can give you lots of, you know, it means DNA, it means records checks, it means fingerprints, but it also means that the murder of Isabel Solis would still not have been captured. It means that Marshall White, the killer of Marshall White, we would not have been able to do a joint operation with him. And things happen every day that we work with him. So, no, I won't be supporting it.
Jim, let me ask you something while we're talking about the mayor's race. Is this this sanctuary city measure, is it going to be something that will differentiate the three Democratic candidates for mayor that you have been able to uncover?
I don't think so, because I've asked all three of them where they stand on it, and as the mayor pointed out, none of them support it. So Regina Romero said she can't support it. Randy Dorman said she can't support it, and Steve Farley said they can't support it. So in terms of the Democratic primary, it's they're all on the same page. So if people are looking for differences in daylight between the candidates, that's not the issue.
And the mayor hasn't endorsed any of the candidates.
Your Honor, you're endorsing in this race?
No, I know all the candidates. I want ultimately what's best for the city, and I want to be in a position with whoever wins to be able to help them transition. And, you know, they all have strengths.
You're not endorsing. What's the warning you would give the winner?
Yeah, there you go.
Having 8 years here, what would you let them know to watch out for?
Well, I don't know that it's a warning as much as, two of the candidates are relatively experienced in the world of politics, so those kind of warnings I don't have to give them.
Maybe we should say advice.
The advice is you've got to work hard. This is not a part-time job by any means. You have to be responsive to the constituents, and you have to probably be more open and receptive to a broader group of people than you have ever had to do as an elected official. A mayor is kind of in a unique position. It's not ideological in core service. And so it's important, and you'll be more successful, quite frankly, if you reach out across the community, because when you run, you're going to have supporters and detractors, and that's the way elections go. But after you're elected, you are the mayor of all the people. And the vast, 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 vast majority of the people are good people, even though you may disagree with them on certain political issues.
Can I, you know, we hear a lot. Members of the business community complain that neighborhoods are running the city.
Yeah.
The neighborhood groups say you got a Tea Party city council that bows down before the business community on every issue.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a debate that's gone on in our community for a long time. Right. I'm wondering, after 8 years in office,
yeah,
where do you see that different, the two groups?
Well,
I know they're not. It's somewhat simplistic in terms of it, but it is an argument that goes on, I hear.
No, you know, you're right. That is very simplistic. It's also very much a meme in the community. The fact of the matter is that, and the council we now have, I think, balances these things well. I think when I've looked back at the history of it, and I didn't serve on, you know, councils more than 8 years ago, I think we've made some real progress in having that balance. But every issue that comes before us is balancing a neighborhood's concerns against what somebody who may want to build something or grow something wants to do. And over the last 8 years, I think the neighbors would have a complaint that, well, gosh darn it, things get built. And the builders would have a complaint, well, gosh darn it, we didn't get to do everything we wanted to do. That's the job of the city council. When you take it on, quite frankly, and I would, you know, when you're saying give advice to the next mayor, our legislative authority, rightly or wrongly, is really constrained to those issues. That's the heart of what we do. That and the budget, you know, allocating the funds for the city. I understand concerns on both sides. I think we've done a really nice job of balancing them and moving the city forward, but at the same time, trying to get quality and planned growth.
What will you be doing after you move on? Will you be going back to the law practice?
Well, it's not fully decided yet. Mm-hmm. I've got still 7-8 months. Mm-hmm. I, as of today, I am planning on taking a desk back at my law firm.
That they'll have you back.
Well, that's, yeah. You know, Jim, that's they told me that a few weeks ago.
McGrath seemed a little skeptical.
Well, yeah. McGrath is probably the one who should have the most concern. My two boys work there, and one of them said the other day, I thought this was pretty appropriate. So we were in with somebody else, and whoever was there said, oh, are you looking forward to having your dad come back to the law firm? And he said, well, I guess it depends what he thinks he's going to do. So that's probably about where we're at. Uh-huh. But I'm also going to be, I want to be, and we'll see, but I also want to be very much still involved in the community. This 8 years has taught me so much and has probably fired me up even more about certain things, not mm-hmm. everything I see every mm-hmm. day, but certain things. And I want to continue to be involved with those projects and make the city a better place. You know, you had right before your show, there was a young man on named Zach Yenser.
Yes.
And I very much want to help that next generation maybe know a little bit more when it's time for them to mm-hmm. come on and mm-hmm. be more able, because I think that'll help the community too.
Yeah, Zach's got a great show, started a couple of weeks ago here. He's on from 10 to noon. So we're just about out of time. Jim, any closing remarks for the mayor?
It sounds like you'll be spending a lot more time at Club Congress, Your Honor, hanging out with the kids.
Wait a second. I just got a note from David Slutz the other day. I hope that I'm not breaking any news here.
What?
In October 12th, that may not be exact day, we're going to have Dusty Chaps Day here in Tucson, 50 years.
50 years, holy cow. Rialto's going to have Little Steven in September.
Yeah, so
August, I don't remember.
So we're gonna have some music come the fall.
Let me ask you about transit, because that's been a tough wrinkle for the city. And 1 minute? Yeah. Are you kidding me?
No, we can do it. We can do it. Right. Just a real quick bottom line thing.
The city's funding of transit.
Yep.
Should it be a bigger subsidy within the general fund? Less subsidy? Is it about right now?
We do what we can. The amount that we're contributing to transit again this year is going up because it needs to, but it isn't what it ideally would be. And it'd be nice to see it less. The only way it's going to be less is to make this a choice rider system instead of a need rider system. We're working with businesses throughout the community to get them to buy for their tenants, for their employees. That's how we're going to make this system better.
In order to increase your fare box recovery.
Yeah, that's right.
And the city's in good shape financially?
We're in good shape financially. It's been a couple of years in a row, but this year we're actually putting more money into our reserves. We're being able to give folks some raises. We're going to go to self-funded insurance, and you need a reserve for that. And we're buying some much-needed equipment for our administrative people. And so, but it's been a good year. We'll need some more good years in a row, and hopefully we'll have them.
And I see a lot of new police cruisers out and about. I don't see those old, I don't want to say clunkers, but the old police cars you just don't see around
as
much.
That's a product of the recent bond issue, mm-hmm. which the voters gave us. Tucson delivers, and we said exactly what we were going to buy and when we're going to buy it, and we're watching that every day, and it's online so you can see. And, you know, the only way a city gets healthy, a community gets healthy, is that it has trust in its government so that when the government comes to them and says, look, this is something we really need to do that you want to do, that they'll do it for us. And we've worked really hard over the last number of years to do that, and we've been successful 3 times, and I hope we're successful in the future.
Okay, Mayor Rothschild, always a pleasure. Thank you very much. I think we've already got you scheduled for the end of May. I think it's my first Friday back after almost 3 weeks in the West Indies. That's going to be...
Oh, Bill's going to have a tan, Jim.
Yeah, I think so.
I doubt that. I wear a big straw hat.
Your Honor, what are you doing with those old cop cars? Auctioning?
Going
up on the auction block? What are they going for? Do you know?
I do not know that, Jim.
I'd like to pick one up.
But as my manager likes to say to me, I'll get back to you on that.
Excellent.
How is he doing, Mike Ortega?
Mike's doing a great job. Mike is solid, and he's got the respect.
He's been there now.
Yeah, 4 years. He reminds me that he is next. He's second to Joel Valdez, and I tell him he's still got a long way to go.
Double the usual length of a city manager.
It is.
All righty. 10:30, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. The mayor is going to exit, and then when we continue, we're going to talk to Jim Nintzel, a couple of items in his long-running column, The Skinny, which has been, I think, running in the weekly now for several decades. The Tucson mayoral candidates are going to tell us about the money they're spending in their effort to win election. We'll talk with Jim about that right after this. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. For the first time ever, explore the Biosphere 2 Ocean and Beach and see up close how we're using the world's largest indoor living ocean for research on the future of coral reefs and rising ocean temperatures. During this privately guided tour, you'll learn why our world's oceans are so important, why they're being impacted, and how the Biosphere 2 Research Center is addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2 tours daily, biosphere2.org. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on celebrity cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an Ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. A little bump music from a group I really still like, a group called America. Song called The Tin Man. It's Bill Buckmaster spinning the hits. No. Did that at one for a very short time in my 50-year career.
Really?
Actually, yeah, Jim Netzel's with us from the Tucson Week. It's a long story, but it's the only time in my career that I used not Buckmaster. It was Bill Stewart. Stewart's my middle name. So
Buckmaster sounds better.
It does, I know. It was at a, believe it or not, the only privately owned shortwave radio station in the United States at the time, in the early 1970s. So I was spinning the hits, and people were listening in Mexico who were in a jail for probably the rest of their life on drug charges.
that's an audience advertisers really are after.
They send me letters. Could you play Tiny Dancer by Elton John? I'd love to hear that from Tumbleweed Connection. And yeah, anyway,
it sounds like you had a captive audience.
Yeah, I did have a captive audience. Had a very varied career, you might say, over 50 years in the business. And one of the pleasures of the career has been working with Jim Netzel. I think we've worked together I've been in town 31 years, and I don't know. When did you start at the Weekly?
Oh, the Weekly. Oh boy. I'm coming up on my 30th anniversary. Believe it or not, Bill, I started.
So we were kind of coincided with when I started in 88, and then you kind of joined at the Weekly.
Right. But you were like a TV star, and I was a guy out delivering newspapers.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know that our career paths are precisely parallel.
Well, but it wasn't long after you were delivering the papers that I brought you on board for the Friday Roundtable on Arizona Illustrated.
Yeah, once I actually got a chance to start writing for the paper.
Anyway, how are we doing with the Tucson mayoral candidates, the three Democrats? Who's doing well with fundraising?
So the actual reports are all due on Monday, but we got an advance peek at them. And it looks like Steve Farley is leading the race in actual contributions gathered. He's raised $130,000, roughly. Uh-huh. Raina Romero actually has $150,000.
Wow.
Because she's the only candidate participating in the city's matching funds program. And not to get too deep in the weeds there, but basically if you qualify, you get a dollar-for-dollar match. And she's raised $75,000, so that gets doubled to $150,000. The downside of that is she is only allowed to spend, I think, $195,000 roughly.
There's a cap.
Okay. In agreeing to take that money. And Randy Dorman, the businesswoman who is getting into this race, tells me she's raised just under $100,000.
So she's the political newcomer, but the other two veterans are pretty close to what they've raised at this point.
Right.
So what does that tell you?
You know, it's there. We were talking with the mayor about this earlier. Mm-hmm. There's probably, he estimated 50,000 Democrats who are going to vote in this primary. Uh-huh. So that's the target, right? You got to reach out to those people. Yeah. And once you have $200,000, you should be able to target those voters pretty well, which it looks like the direction these guys are going on. I just don't know what, how this thing's going to play out, because we don't have any polling. It's an open seat. Randy's never run for office before, so we don't know what kind of campaign she's going to pull off. And the other two are seasoned political veterans who are well-known, at least within the voters who are going to turn out for this Democratic primary. So, I'm looking forward to this race because I really don't know how it's going to turn out. In a race like that, it's always more interesting to cover than one where you do. But we will get some idea of where all these candidates stand, Bill, with a two-hour forum next week with the three Democratic candidates at the University of Arizona.
That's the first forum.
First one that I've really heard about, first one that's open to the public, and they're encouraging people to come. And it's at on Thursday night starting at 5:30 at the University of Arizona. There's details in the skinny on that. And, I have a hard time watching anything for 2 hours unless there's superheroes or dragons in it.
I mean, it sounds like it's kind of early in the process to have that going on, but I guess it doesn't. This is probably the first of dozens of these things that the three will be appearing at events. And
certainly more information is better than little or less information, but I still, that's a long slog for the public and for the candidate.
Yeah, also in the skinny, one of the three items that you touched on, you talked about the authorization is now available. The legislature has said to when the RTA finally figures out, they're in the process right now of kind of a listening phase about whether they want to go for a half cent or a full cent when they try to reauthorize the RTA. They have the door now open from the legislature.
Exactly. Yeah. And the other big change there is that they can use that money not only on expanding capacity and widening roads, which is what the RTA in its first 20 years was limited to now being able to spend money on maintenance of these streets. And as we know, if you maintain a street and you cover it again with asphalt on a regular basis, it costs one-tenth of the cost of actually rebuilding a road when you've let it be neglected. And far too many of our roads here in Pima County are in that shape. We didn't get a chance to talk to the mayor about this, but the city of Tucson has actually done a lot in recent years thanks to a bond and then a half-cent sales tax that has made money available to them. But you're right, the RTA is going to be going out and talking with people. It expires in 2026. I suspect they'll go for a re-up on that sooner because if it fails, they're going to want to have to go back to the voters with a second plan. So you'll be hearing a lot from the RTA, and they'll be hearing a lot from us. So.
Now, Allie Miller, your friend, Pima County Supervisor representing District Number 1, a district I live in, and I think you live in 1, don't you?
I do.
Yeah.
Yes. She's my supervisor.
She is our supervisor. So we're her constituents. But she lobbied through one of the representatives to try to keep this, to have this fail at the legislature.
Yeah, and she did this last year as well and was successful. This year she was not. The legislature has changed a little bit. Democrats gained a little more ground up there, so things are a little closer. And I think that Allie Miller's influence is waning up there, as it is probably everywhere.
But why would Allie not want to let the voters decide on something like this?
I'm speculating here, but I suspect
because we don't talk to her.
Well, yeah. She
not
doesn't
by
talk
choice.
Yeah, I call her.
We'd love to talk
to
her.
I call her on a semi-regular basis, but I don't hear back.
Sure.
But I would say that I suspect her thing is if Pima County gets wins and Pima County starts to improve, then she has nothing left to complain about. So she likes to throw a lot of sand in the gears and prevent things from going well. But, it's a speculation. She may have some other reason, and she's sort of, if she's listening, welcome to call in, I suppose.
Sure. We'd love to hear from her.
Yes.
The other item you talked about, and have only got about a minute, is the crazy, you say here, what's next for Trump administration's lunatic immigration policies?
Yeah. You know, I'd written about it last week, and we're back on it this week. Last week, it was like, I'm not kidding, I'm going to close the border. And then it was like, I'll put Mexico on notice for a year, and then we'll close the border then. And then we find out that he actually was trying to close the border at El Paso, and the staff was like, yeah, I don't think you really want to cause that kind of upheaval, and he was talked out of it. But we'll see what happens with these border closing threats, but now we have a whole year to wonder. But I think all of this stuff does not help Martha McSally. She's got to run for that Senate seat
right.
in less than 2 years, and Trump's out there coming up with bad healthcare ideas. He's out there coming up with bad border ideas, and that's all stuff that sticks to McSally, and she's going up against a tough opponent who's raised $4 million
Mark Kelly in
less than 3 months.
He's raised $4 million. Wow.
$4
million. And he's got the path now to this nomination, because really there's so far no big names running against him, correct?
No, I think the biggest that was out there was Ruben Gallego, right, the congressman from Maricopa County, and he has decided it wasn't worth the race. So, yeah.
All right. Jim Nintzel, pleasure to have you in studio. We'll look for your work at the Tucson Weekly. Thanks, Jim.
Always a pleasure, Bill. Thank
Hope
you.
Hope you have a great weekend. Coming up next, Dan Gibson filling in for Matt Russell. Matt's in Texas looking for some Texas barbecue, I guess. Matt, our longtime host of Weekend Watch, who also contributes, Jim, to one of your publications,
yeah,
and that's Inside Tucson
Inside
Business.
Inside Tucson Business. Yep. He's our food writer, and every once in a while we slide those stories into some of our other publications,
sure,
as appropriate. So,
Food and beverage.
Tremendous.
Let's not forget the beverage.
Yes, yeah. Tremendous asset to the operation. We're so glad he's there.
All right. We'll be back in a few moments with Dan Gibson with Weekend Watch.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com.
There's still time this year for you to donate your 2018 charitable tax credit qualifying dollars to a local charity and claim a dollar-for-dollar credit towards your Arizona state taxes. The Arizona Charitable Tax Credit Coalition, a group of 40 local charities, encourages you to direct a portion of your state tax dollars to work in our community for causes that you wish to support. It's easy to donate online and feel good at givelocalkeeplocal.org. That's givelocalkeeplocal.org.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA's Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Here we go. Stir it up, baby. That is the Weekend Watch theme music. Weekend Watch is presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. The fine people over in that beautiful portion of the Land of Enchantment encourage you to take the three-hour drive and enjoy a beautiful portion of the southwestern United States. The complete listing of great places to stay. So many recreation opportunities. There's several dozen listed at Southwest New Mexico. Mexico.org. Check it out, Silver City, for a weekend road trip. Now, Weekend Watch. Matt Russell, our normal Inside Tucson business food and beverage host of Weekend Watch, is over in the Dallas area looking, I understand, Dan Gibson of Visit Tucson. He's looking for some Texas barbecue or brisket or something like that. How you doing, Dan?
I am all right. Yeah, I don't understand why Matt feels the need to go to other places. I mean, he's neither in Tucson nor Silver City, but I mean, these are choices people make, you know, and that's fine.
He's especially gone on a weekend where there's so much going on.
It's a flood.
Tell us. Give me some highlights.
Well, you know, not normally Matt's beat, but let's talk about pets.
I'm always ready. Yep.
I know, exactly. And if you're looking to adopt a pet, there's no better weekend than this one. Saturday, April 13th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Tucson Expo Center, which is on Irvington between Palo Verde and Alvernon. It's the 5th annual Adopt Love, Adopt Local Mega Adoption Animal Fair. All of the local groups, seemingly, that are involved in this work, Humane Society, Pima Animal Care Center, if there's a group in town that has animals that are up for adoption, they will be here at the Expo Center. So this is your opportunity, and the prices are cut. I think it's like $25 for an adoption fee, which is ridiculously low considering how much work and time goes into keeping these animals healthy and well and retraining them. So it's an excellent opportunity. At the very least, you can go look at some puppies and kittens, maybe learn about some opportunities to volunteer, things like that. So if you're looking for a pet or just passionate about animals, it's an excellent opportunity all around. Please, however, leave your pets at home is a note for that because, yep. Nobody needs that drama.
No, and hopefully hundreds of wanting animals will find new homes. So it's a great event. Adopt love. You're going to get a bundle of love. All right, what else is going on, Dan Gibson?
Well, gosh, you know, it's a crazy time for journalism, I think, as anybody knows. But if you want to reflect on the important part that journalism has in our lives, this Sunday from 2 p.m. Till about 4:45 at the Loft Cinema, is you can see the 2009 thriller State of Play, starring Russell Crowe and Rachel McAdams, but it's also a onstage discussion by
used to work at
Citizens. I can never, the plural always throws me off.
There you go.
As I need the AP guide for that. Mm-hmm. But Jennifer Boyce, Corky Simpson, Steve Rivera, Gabriel Frimbris, Chuck Graham, Dylan Smith will discuss the legacy of the Tucson Citizen and the current state of journalism. Should be an excellent time. That's at the Loft Cinema Sunday from 2 to 4:45. You can get your tickets in advance at loftcinema.org.
Steve Rivera, also, the longtime sports guy with the Citizen, I think he's going to be there as well.
He will be.
Yep, Steve's
going to be. You probably see Steve a little bit around there.
I see Steve sitting out in the green room ready to occupy this chair. Steve, you are going to be there. Okay, good. He gives me a thumbs up. He will be there.
Good, excellent.
He'll be there Sunday. Let's try to work in one more on Weekend Watch.
Perfect. Well, I think this is right up Matt's alley, the craft beer culture here in Tucson. still booming. One of the classics of that space, one of the second wave of breweries, Dragoon Brewing on just off of Grant, is having its 7th year anniversary with 7 days of celebration starting on Sunday. Yeah, it's going to be a lot, by all means. Daily tapping of specialties from their cellar, including Lazarus, which was one of the highest-rated beers in America at one point. Their Flash Dance Hoppy Lager, the Ocho Russian Imperial Stout, brand new merch, music. So yeah, check out their calendar. You go to their website or Facebook, especially Dragoon Brewing. You can learn about all that's happening there at Dragoon.
Thank you, Dan Gibson. Appreciate it. Weekend Watch. Thanks, Dan. The Bill Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. A big thanks to Bob Dio. Thanks, Bob, for another great week. Everybody here at Bustos Media, thank you very much for your support. I am Bill Buckmaster on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Hope you have a great weekend.